doing a series of lessons called Journey Life, lessons from Old Testament people of faith. And about a month ago, John Micah began by introducing the story of Joseph and did a fantastic job in going back and looking at the family Joseph was born into and the conflict that erupted because Joseph was Jacob's favorite son, and how that his own brothers began to hate him so much that they couldn't even speak a kind word to him. And these are the people who had become the 12 tribes of Israel. So to give you a little background into who we're talking about here. And John made 3 points in the first 2 lessons that I've tried to continue both last week and this week. Number one, we learned from Joseph that the purposes of God are at work in hidden and unnoticed ways. We're going to come back to that here in a moment. But God is as active today as he has ever been. We need to understand that. And by the way, he will work in us, through us, or in spite of us. There's been many a Sunday that God has worked in spite of my ability to present his word. And for that, I am so grateful. Number two, the purposes of God are reliable. God has a plan. He's going to carry it out. You can mark it down. God is faithful to what he says he will do. And number three, God's ways are at work regardless of our attitudes and actions. He is accomplishing his will. We can be either instruments in accomplishing that, or he will go around us. God doesn't have a problem either way. Now, Joseph, and we pointed this out last week, John did it about 3 weeks ago, Joseph's life was shaped by dreams. I mean, that's what Joseph filtered everything in life through. He had had 2 dreams when he was 17 years old. One was a dream of his wheat being worshipped by the wheat stalks of his brothers, which of course further infuriated them against him. And then he had a dream about the stars, the sun, and the moon bowing down and worshiping him. And of course the sun and the moon represented his father and his stepmother. And this really bothered Jacob. In fact, the Bible says that Jacob rebuked him for sharing that dream. But then the text says something else that you just cannot miss. But his father kept this matter in mind. He was mad. He was upset. Don't you dare be telling your brothers this dream. But then after he left, he's thinking, God is speaking through him. God is involved in this dream. And the reason Jacob knew that is because Jacob had been a dreamer himself. If you go back just a few years, Jacob is running away from his brother Esau. He's stolen his birthright. He's stolen his father's blessing, and he's fleeing. He leaves Beersheba. He sets out for Haran, which is where he will go eventually and get his wives. And when he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night. The sun was going down. He took a stone, used it for a pillow. I mean, can you imagine that? I've had some hard pillows. Cannot imagine his. He lays down, he goes to sleep, and the Bible says he had a dream. Jacob was a dreamer. That's the reason he thought about Joseph's dream. He had been a dreamer. And in it, and a lot of us who grew up going to church, remember Jacob's ladder. It's actually a staircase. It was a staircase that went to heaven, and angels were coming down it, and angels were going up it. They were doing the bidding of God, and at the top of it is God. God's at the very top of the staircase. And in the dream, he speaks to Jacob. I'm the Lord, the God of your father, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you're lying. The same promise he had made to Abraham, the same promise he had made to Isaac. And he says, your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you'll spread out to the west and the east and the north and the south and all peoples. Don't miss that. We're part of that dream. We are a part of Jacob's dream. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring, which ultimately is Jesus the Messiah. We are here today in as a result of a dream given to Jacob some 3,000 years ago. And so, actually 4,000 years ago. And so we need to think about that. You know, Joel in his prophecy, looking forward to when Pentecost would come and the Spirit would be poured out, says, afterward I'll pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Can I say a word to us? I was raised to think that this was miraculous dreams and visions, and this was involved in the miraculous period, and that it really doesn't take place anymore today. I don't believe that anymore. You see, I believe that God can give dreams and it doesn't have to be miraculous. I believe that God can give people visions and it doesn't have to be miraculous. I mean, some are, but not all. I mean, the word prophesy there simply means to proclaim the will of God. And we have people who are proclaiming the will of God all the time. Our teachers that we celebrate today are constantly, men and women, proclaiming the will of God. And let me tell you that God is still given visions. Not visions that, again, are prophetic visions of the future, as much as visions of what can be done when God's people believe in the power that is at work within them. The church more than ever needs people who dream dreams. Dream of what God can do through His people when we allow Him to work in and through us. And so I hope that we too can be people of dreams. Why? Because the purposes of God are at work in hidden and unnoticed ways. We come to chapter 40. Chapter 40 makes up about three chapters in Genesis, 39, 40, and 41, that basically sets the stage for Joseph to go from being hated by his brother and sold into slavery to becoming the second most powerful man in the world. Okay, that's these chapters, 39, 40, and 41. You go back to 39, and you have Joseph being thrown in prison. You remember he's sold by his brothers. He's sold to a man by the name of Potiphar, who's chief of the guards. Potiphar's wife begins to look for an opportunity to take advantage of Joseph. He refuses. She accuses him of assault, sexual assault, and he's thrown in prison. But as soon as he's thrown in prison, something amazing happens. Everything he touches goes right. I don't know if you've ever seen someone like that. I mean, I've run across people that everything they touch turned to gold. I mean, I don't care. I mean, they can sit there and start a job, and I'm thinking, man, they're not going to make any money, and the next thing you know, they're just rolling in the cash, and you're like, how in the world they do that? And other people, I mean, they're just people that take over a job, and as soon as they take over the job, everything begins to fall in line beautifully. That was Joseph. And before long, the warden of the prison has put him in charge and everything. And notice the yellow that's written there, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. Now, you need to read that with both your head and your heart. Okay? Your head reads this, the Lord was with Joseph. Your heart reads this, and he's in an Egyptian prison. All right? I don't know about you, but that seems a little contradictory to me. Right after services today, I go to River Bend. I preach out there once a month in a rotation, and today is my day to go out there and preach. And there will be 15, 20, 25 guys who will gather. And some of the guys in there will be guys who are lifers. They will never get out. And the question that you have to have when you're a lifer in prison is, where in the world do I find hope? By the way, you have to ask the same question whether you're a lifer or not. Where in the world in prison do you find hope? And Joseph's asking that same question. In chapter 40, it begins with the fact that two very important people, the king's cupbearer and the king's baker, these are Pharaoh's officials. They have been thrown into prison. Pharaoh's gotten upset with them. He's thrown them into prison. He's investigating them. And their roles are very important roles. You see, the cupbearer is just not the guy who brings the king his wine. In the ancient world, drinking wine was always dangerous if you were a king. Because the easiest way to knock off a king is simply to poison his drink. And so you would find someone that you trusted above and beyond everything, and you would appoint him the one to bring you your wine. Why? Because he had to taste it before he gave it to you. And you know, if he died, then the Pharaoh's like, okay, bring me another one. You know, I mean, you know, you don't drink that. The baker was the same way. The person who prepared the food also had to be someone that you trusted. And so something has happened in Egypt so that Pharaoh's like, okay, someone's out to get me. And so he throws these guys into prison until he can find out who it is. And notice the last line there, in the same prison where Joseph was confined. Can I ask you a question? Coincidence? I mean, is that what's going on? Coincidence? Can I tell you I don't believe in coincidence? I know a lot of people do. I don't. And the reason I don't is for this very reason right here. The purposes of God are at work in hidden and unnoticed ways. What appears as coincidence to a lot of people is God saying, oh no, not at all. And by the way, that was true in Joseph's life and it's true in yours and my life as well. There are no coincidences. God is at work. The question is, are we noticing it and seeing it? After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt who was being held in prison, had a dream. Coincidence? I mean, isn't it an amazing coincidence that in the very prison where a guy who had been put there because of his dream now meets two other people who have had dreams? Joseph, of course, who is over all the prison at this time, he gets up the next morning and he notices that both the cupbearer and the baker, man, they're down. They're depressed. I mean, I don't know what it was about the dream that had them upset other than the fact that they could not find anyone to interpret it. So why do you look so sad? And they said, we both had dreams, but there's no one to interpret them. In ancient Egypt, you had dream interpreters. That was just common. In fact, there were scrolls that were written on how to interpret dreams. And so here is these two men who knew we've had dreams, but we don't have any interpreters. And it's got them down. And Joseph's response is, do not interpretations belong to God? And then I love the next thing. Tell me your dreams. Now, do you see what Joseph is saying in there? Don't interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me. It's kind of like Jesus when the rich young ruler came up to him and said, good teacher. And Jesus says, why do you call me good? There's no one good except God. And he's hoping you connect the dots, as Stan is so fond of saying. And so Joseph's hoping that they will connect the dots. And so they tell him their dreams. The cupbearer says, I had a dream, and there were this grapevine growing, and it had three branches. And it was just grapes grew there. And so he said, I took the grapes off of the vine, and I began to squeeze them into the cup of Pharaoh. And then I gave it to Pharaoh. And Joseph immediately responded, this is what it means. The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head. Pay attention to that language. Very important in this chapter. And he'll restore you to your position. In other words, he's investigated. He knows you're not involved. And you're going to go back to the position you had before as his cupbearer. And you can just see the cupbearer going, all right. That's incredible. I mean, it's the best news I've heard. Again, I speak at a lot of parole hearings at River Bend. And after a parole hearing, a period of time as the parole board votes on the person whether or not they'll make parole or not. And what ends up happening is those of us who go into the prison to work, we'll go in, we'll say, have you heard back from the parole board yet? I mean, what did the person, by the way, the first vote is cast during the parole hearing. The person who chairs the parole hearing will say, okay, I'm going to give you my vote. And depending on your charges, you either need 3 or you need 4 votes. And of course, that person will say, I'm going to vote against you, which is usually bad news. And then sometimes they'll say, I'm going to vote for you, which is usually good news. But again, not always, because you've got to get more than either 3 or 4 votes. He's just got paroled, and he knows it. I mean, in 3 days, he's going back to serving. But what's fascinating is that in the text, at this moment of good news, in the midst of this incredible act of God, of Joseph being able to interpret the dream, Joseph reaches out. And what's amazing is what he asked this cupbearer, of all people, a pagan cupbearer who serves the Pharaoh, all at once Joseph is going to lean into him. Watch what Joseph says to him. But when all goes well with you, this is Joseph speaking, would you remember me? So what's going on with Joseph? And again, what's going on is in his head, he knows that God just gave him the ability to interpret a dream, but in his heart, he feels forgotten. I mean, he's turning of all people to the cupbearer and said, would you at least remember me? You go over to Psalm 106, you have the psalmist, exact same thing. Remember me, Lord, when you show favor to your people. Come to my aid when you save them. Lord, would you remember me? You see, the reality is there are moments in all of our lives when we feel like God is forgotten. When we feel like God's no longer answering prayers. What the theologians call the dark night of the soul. I mean, you Google that and you'll just have thousands, tens of thousands of pages of people describing moments in their spiritual life when they're at their wit's end. Joseph is in prison. God is with him. But in his heart, Joseph is going, why? God, where are you at? Yes, you gave me the interpretation of a dream, but I'm still in prison. When all goes well with you, remember me and would you show me kindness? Would you show me kindness? And of course you're thinking, Joseph, God's made you top person in prison. Well, I can tell you right now, you go out to River Bend and ask someone, are you the top person in the prison? And their response will be, even if I am, I'd rather be the low person outside the prison. I mean, that's just not a real, you know, hey, you're the top dog here in the prison. Well, thank you. And so he's struggling. In his head, he knows God's with him. In his heart, he's just not so sure. I'm reminded of Matthew 6:25, where Jesus, who had, I mean, lived among us and witnessed everything, he says, listen, I want to tell you something. Don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. He had seen so many people worry about where's their next meal coming from or where's their next tunic coming from. And he says, can I tell you you're focusing on the wrong thing? You go later in that chapter in verse 33, if you'll just seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, all these things will be given to you as well. Maybe not on your timetable, but God will take care of you, I promise. Those are the words of Jesus. And boy, Joseph needed to hear that. We need to hear that. Because we too will walk through that dark night of the soul. And then he says, mention me to Pharaoh. You see how far he's gone down? He thinks the only way he can get out of prison is if Pharaoh lets him out. And he doesn't remember who's operating Pharaoh's strings, which of course is God. Joseph's struggling. And if there's a message that comes out of this story of Joseph, is I don't care how active God is in your life, there's going to be moments, but you just don't feel it. And you struggle with it. And Satan comes after you. And you know, God, where are you? Why are you not acting? I'm reminded of Mark 9 as I was looking at this. Would you mention my name to Pharaoh and let him get me out? I'm reminded of a father who brought his son to Jesus and his son's demon-possessed. The apostles had tried to cast them out, the demons out, and they couldn't do it. And so he turned to Jesus, the father did, and notice what he says, but if you can do anything. And I don't know if you remember what Jesus said, but Jesus just kind of looked at him and said, if I can what? If I can do anything? If you just have faith like a mustard seed, and the father screams out, Lord, I believe. But would you help my unbelief? In other words, all of us are a mixture of belief and unbelief, faith and doubt. And I don't know about you, but mine just kind of varies from time to time which one is more. And that's what's going on in Joseph's life. He then says, I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I've done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. Do you see his inability to see God at work? I mean, God's at work. We know God is at work. He's always, regardless of our attitudes and actions, but in Joseph's mind, he just can't sense it. I'm here because of nothing I've done wrong. And God's like, that's right, you're there because I need you there, because of what I'm going to do through you. There are times we need to look at the darkest moments of our lives and say, okay, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I look forward to when you receive the glory because of what you've done through me. Message we all need to hear. Soon as he gets through, the baker's excited. He says, well, let me tell you my dream. Because he's thinking, okay, I'm going to get out as well. And he says, I had these three baskets of baked goods on my head, and they were for Pharaoh. The only problem is birds were coming in, and they were eating the bread that was in the baskets. Now, what does that mean? And Joseph, you can almost see Joseph as he just kind of grimaces. And he says, this is what it means, three baskets of 3 days, and with 3 days, Pharaoh will lift, not lift up, but lift off your head. The Hebrew may be the same meaning there, but it's got a different connotation. He's going to impale your body on a pole, and the birds will eat away your flesh. And sure enough, the text says, within 3 days, they celebrated Pharaoh's birthday. Pharaoh brought both of them out, restored the cupbearer, and had the baker killed, because I'm sure he was the guilty one in the plot. And then you have the end of the story. The chief cupbearer, however, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. I mean, the one that Joseph put his hope in. And I want you to notice how long. For 2 full years. Again, going to River Bend, whenever there's a parole hearing, if you don't get enough votes, almost always they'll say, we're going to put you off for 2 more years. And let me tell you something, 2 years to me and you may seem like just a fleeting moment. But when you have no freedom at all, 2 years is the eternity. And I suspect that's what Joseph thought. 2 years, he was forgotten. But not by God. Peter would write 2,000 years later, do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years are like a day. Put very simple, God is not on our time schedule. And that's one of the hardest lessons we'll ever find. We'll ever learn. Why? Because waiting kills us. I mean, it kills us. I was coming in this morning, and y'all, there's nobody on the road. I mean, it's 6:30. I get caught at Imperial Boulevard there at that red light. Now, that's not so bad, except it gets me every single solitary Sunday. I mean, I pull up, and I'm like, there's nobody here. Why is it turned red? And the answer is, yeah, Les, for you a minute is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years like a minute. But God says, I've got this. And his message to all of us today is, I've got this. For those who have trusted him, he's got it. Let's trust that he does. If you have a need of any kind, whether it's to become a Christian, to put your faith in Jesus Christ like that grain of mustard seed and be baptized into him, we're here to assist you. Any other need you have, we're glad to honor it. We'll be happy to pray with you. Let us know how we can. You can do that right now as together we stand and sing.